Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you just sniff the podcast, you get the aromas of fun, of chat, and of nice good times. Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast.
Smells great.
It's James Acaster there, doing an impression of smelling some wine by sniffing around it like a big dog.
That's how I do it.
I love around it.
There's Ed Gamble there. Saying dog.
This is the Off-Menu podcast where we chat to a special guest about food. But more specifically, James, we've got a little format that we use, don't we?
Well, yes, we want to know their dream meal, their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. And this week's guest is Sarah Keyworth,
a brilliant comedian. You may have seen her on television or live or one of those things. She's an exceptional stand-up comedian, James.
Yes, absolutely. It's an honour to have her in the Dream Restaurant. But if Sarah says the secret ingredient, same rules to everyone, I'm afraid. We will kick her out.
And the secret ingredient this week is chocolate liqueurs. Chocolate liqueurs. Absolutely hate them, James. Now, this is something that I selected. Are you also on board the yuck train with these?
I am. I think that they sound nicer than they are. And I also think that the pocket of liqueur in the middle is always... I don't think there's really a right amount for it, but always feels like there's too much of it.
I don't like
how it feels in my mouth when it announces itself out of the chocolate. I'd rather just have it a nice, lovely chocolate.
Although there are exceptions to this, so don't go trawling the back catalogues and trying to catch me out. Oh. I broadly think keep booze out of my puddings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think so.
I wouldn't agree with that. I like boozy puddings, but chocolate liqueurs can jog on. I don't really anyone who likes them, I think is pretty creepy.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Let's go with that. I think the problem with chocolate liqueurs is the booze is too raw.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's too raw, and whoever likes them should be on a register.
Yeah, absolutely. Top of the register. And I'd even put reason for being on the register likes chocolate liqueurs, and I think the cops would understand.
I think they would. I think they'd totally understand.
Say no more.
So, if Sarah says chocolate liqueurs, she's out of here, and we will call the cops.
Yeah, we're going to do what our good old friend, I can't remember who said call the cops now.
Jack McBrayer. It was Jack McBrayer.
Jack McBrayer said call the cops.
He also said, pop us off the bread.
Pop us off the bread. He asked if we were going to call the cops. And as you know, we will call the... I mean...
Call the cops?
We've only kicked out one person from the Dream restaurant so far. And we should have pointed out, we did call the cops on her. And we kept that out of the episode. But when Jade got kicked out, we called the cops. Well, she at least got taken down to the station. I don't know if she was...
Well, she got put away. She said to change her name to Jail Adams.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Jail Adams. She plays a harmonica in jail now.
So, if Sarah Keyworth says chocolate liqueurs, we will call the cops and pop us off the bread. But hopefully, she will not.
Fingers crossed. We will see.
This is the off-menu menu of Sarah Keyworth.
Keyworth. Benito usually says, enjoy your meal.
James, you've interrupted the beginning.
I'm just saying, but Benito wasn't as hospitable then to Keyworth as he normally is to people.
Well, that's how this is going to start now, because Benito's created a frosty atmosphere in the restaurant. I was trying to welcome Sarah Keyworth, and now you've made it even more inhospitable.
Well, listeners don't know that normally Benito, you know, on the Zoom, he says, okay, I'm gonna go away now and let you record the podcast. Enjoy your meal. And the guest always has a little smile, like, oh, that was nice. And this time he just went, see ya. Go on, start then.
He just left me with a couple of rumbling fans.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we should let the listener know. For some reason, all mine and James's laptop fans are going absolutely potty today.
Yeah. Mine's calmed down again now, but I don't think that's the end of it. I feel like it's a baddie in a horror film. They're never really, really dead, are they? They're always
James, we're used to the fans going crazy, aren't we?
Oh, good one. Absolutely brilliant.
Sorry, I've had a coffee about 10 minutes ago, Sarah, and I'd like to apologise in advance because apparently it's turned me into my own father.
No, I like it. I think it's good.
Welcome, Sarah Keyworth, to the Dream Restaurant.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We've been expecting you for some time.
Was that it? Was that my genie sound?
Pathetic.
What the fuck
was
that?
Pathetic.
Well, Benita's not going to try. I'm not going to try.
Oh, fuck's sake. I have been waiting for so long to see what would happen when the genie appears, and that was awful.
It's a bit like a party popper. It wasn't very good.
You did like a real sort of limp wrist gesture with it as well, like, here you are.
Yeah.
It would be so annoying, wouldn't it, if you found a lamp, rubbed the lamp, and the genie came out, and he was just like, all right.
Yeah. Are you sticking with that? Is that what you're going for, or are we going to do?
I think it's good that on this episode, yeah, it's different. And this episode, yeah. I think you're, so far, out of all the guests we've ever had, you're the one that has not been made to feel welcome at all so far.
Yeah, hostile environment.
Sorry about that. I did try. I want you to remember that I tried, Sarah. Welcome, Sarah Keyworth, to the Dream Restaurant.
Welcome, Sarah Keyworth, to the Dream Restaurant.
Feels insincere. You didn't even finish that sentence. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Look, you are quite correct to react to the genie in the same way as he welcomed you, but I need to try. Look, sometimes you go for a meal and you just know the vibe's wrong right from the off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is like a bad first date.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like a bad first date, but I'm always the one who's going to try and pull this out of the doldrums. I'm going to increase the energy. I'm desperately going to try and make this a lovely first date, okay? By sweating, by making terrible jokes about the fans. And guys, come on, we can do this. This could be something.
I like that sweating and terrible jokes are your way of saving a terrible first date. You're like, oh, if this isn't going well, I'll just start sweating a bit more.
But, Sarah, it's very nice to have you here in the Dream Restaurant.
It's actually really genuinely very nice to be here. I've been looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't think I've ever seen you eat anything.
I don't.
Oh, I don't eat. This is going to be a disaster.
Mm, I don't know how I'm still alive.
It's impressive.
Maybe you're not.
I look at food and I sort of get a sense of it and I think, yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
Then I move on.
Watched other people. Is all your choices based on things you've seen other people eat and look
nice?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's all TV references. It's all stuff from adverts and stuff. It's every course is Special K.
Yeah.
Apart from the last one, Crunchy Nut.
A reverse Joe Lycett menu. I like it.
You've never seen me eat, James Acaster.
I don't think I've ever seen you eat. I think even when we were at the Melbourne Comedy Festival together and we went to that, the organisers put on like a barbecue or something at a bowling green, and we were all playing bowls, and you were definitely there, but I didn't see you eat any of that food.
I did eat some food. I was horribly hungover, and I didn't want you to see me, so I waited until you were bowling to take a bite.
I see. Very clever.
So yeah. It's not that James hasn't seen you eat because you've always hidden it from him, right?
Every time James Acaster walks into a room, I stop eating.
What is it about his general vibe that means you don't want him to see you eat? Does he stare or?
No, he doesn't stare. It's not staring. I'm kind of, it's like a side eye, you know? I know that he's thinking about what I'm doing when he's in the room with me.
That's true.
This is.
I can't deny that.
This is making me think of the last time that we were all in a room together, actually. It was just before all of this kicked off. It was at Soho Theatre. And I found something out that night recently that is actually has been haunting me. I'd just done my show. I came down into the bar area. You guys were sat having a drink, and I walked over and said hello. And you looked up like I'd sort of scared you a little bit. And you went, "Oh, we're really glad it's you, because a woman's just been over and been quite rude, and she's like said all this stuff about like she was like, oh, like my friends say that you guys are famous, but I don't know who you are, and then like took a photo with you and stuff." And I was there with you, like, "Fuck, oh, that's so rude. She sounds like a dickhead."
Oh, yeah.
And then went off, joined some of my friends who had been to the show. Several months later, there's a lockdown, there's a pandemic, I don't see or speak to anybody. I see those friends that I was with that night, and one of my friends says to my other friend, "Oh, well, that girl that you brought with you was really rude to James Acaster and Ed Gamble." And me, like, sort of really relentlessly naive, was like, "Well, you know, the boys were having a real night of it, because they said..." They said was really rude to them, and said that she didn't know who they were, and they all looked at me like I just said that I thought the earth was flat.
I love stuff like, I obviously it's rude, but I love stuff like that when it happens when I'm with James, because he's way less patient than me for stuff like that, because it is rude when people do the whole "I don't know who you are, but my friend says you're famous." It's so passive aggressive, leaning towards the aggressive. But in that situation, I don't get annoyed if I'm with James, because I can just watch James's blood boil while it happens. And his reaction's always very funny. If someone says, "Can I have a photo? I don't know who you are," James will just go, "Nope." Goodbye.
Well, I don't know why anybody would want a photo with someone that they don't know.
Whole thing is a test for, like, I had it once. A lady came up to me, quite an old lady, in a reception at a hotel, and she looked at me and went, "I know you." And I was like, "Oh, all right." And then she went away. And then she came back again and she went, "I've just realised you're on Mock the Week. I thought you were my window cleaner."
And I was like, you do look a bit like a window cleaner.
Yeah, he does look a bit. But one of, the, like... like a pervy window cleaner from a 70s film, like Confessions of a Window Cleaner.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, like, you're not in it for the cleaning of the windows. You're in it for looking through them.
I do not look like a pervy window cleaner. That's like an old boy. I look like a whimsical window cleaner.
No, you look a bit like Robin Asquith, who was, I think his name was Robin Asquith, Confessions of a Window Cleaner.
I've been told I look like I could be a chimney sweep, so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Look, here's the front cover of Robin Asquith's autobiography.
Not going to deny that looks like me, I guess.
It's absolutely James Acaster, yeah.
James is now obviously being recognised more, Sarah. Obviously, we can't go out in public that much, but when we can, he's going to be recognised for being, I think, number 6 or number 7 in Heat's secret crushes list.
Right. No way.
For one, it's number 5. Right, so don't be slinging around 6 and 7. Piers Morgan's number 6.
I'd like to know who 1, 2, 3 and 4 are.
I mean, Keyworth, when someone told me I was on that list, I felt well chuffed. And then I looked at the list, and no disrespect to any of them, but it didn't make me feel, didn't really boost the old ego when I saw the list of people.
No, I'm sure there's no self-esteem to be found there.
I thought it was going to be a bunch of hunks.
It was not. It's not the top hunks.
But that's better than, because they sometimes do sort of like guilty crushes and things, whereas I think secret
crushes
is.
That's what it is. They've rebranded the guilty
crushes. Because
it's
less offensive if it's secret.
Yeah.
But Boris Johnson's on there, for example.
Yeah.
How? Is he higher or lower than James? Can I guess?
Oh, lower?
Lower.
Don't worry. And James beat Piers Morgan. No worries.
Well done, James.
Thank you very much.
Got sexier
than glad.
Boris Johnson and Piers Morgan.
Yeah, pretty pleased with that.
That's great.
Absolutely saw off Frank Skinner with no... That was easy.
Did you? God.
Yeah.
Skinner's been weeping about it ever since.
Yeah.
Right, we're in a restaurant. We can't get onto this sort of chat if we're in a restaurant, James. Why did you bring up the secret crush list?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So obsessed.
I couldn't wait to tell Keyworth about it.
Yeah.
Still or sparkling water, Sarah Keyworth?
Okay. I'm having both. Can I have both?
Yes.
Yeah, you can. Absolute baller move. Why are you having both?
Because I am a child and I will be thirsty, and I know that I'm going to drink a lot of alcohol this evening. So it's good to have a bit of still water. So I'll glug that down. But then I don't want to miss out on any fizz.
Fair enough.
I like both, and I want it all on the table. I've been known to overorder drinks at a restaurant. I'll have like a glass of wine, a cocktail, two different types of water.
Did you ever play the thing about you're not allowed to double park? We used to have a rule that in the pub. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was a drinking game, wasn't it? Yeah. Some people call it double fisting, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. I do not where I come from, Sarah.
Because that's a completely different thing.
I always need to double check with things like drinking games just in case it was just a posh person thing.
Mm. Yes. But we definitely called it double fisting opposed to double parked because nobody owned cars where I was from.
The rule was if you had two drinks on the table at the same time, you had to put your dick in a pheasant, right?
You have to what?
So you never want to miss out on the... Is this going to become a theme for your whole menu? Is that you don't want to miss out on stuff and maybe we're going to get quite a lot of...
I worry that I'm going to overorder it, yeah.
Yes.
I just think the thing with water is that I'm also, as I say, a child, so I will try and down the fizzy water if it's the only thing there, and then I'll get hiccups.
So you down the fizzy water, you get the hiccups, and then do you use the still water to try and cure your hiccups?
Well, then I have to get the genie back, and can I have a couple more stills, please?
Yeah, I just keep them coming.
But then I get worried. I like it when, you go to some restaurants and they have, like, water taps. Like Yo Sushi that has like a still and a sparkling tap. I like that. I like it on tap, is what I'm saying.
Would you ever want to stick your head under the taps?
Absolutely.
Turn them on?
Yeah. I'd like the fizzy one so that it would like bubble over my mouth.
Yeah.
The problem with the Yo Sushi taps, I find, is they only give you a tiny little glass.
Yeah.
And I like a pint of water. Mm-hmm. I like a pint of water and I like to down it all in one. That's how I get my water in.
Do you think you could bring your own pint glass to Yo Sushi?
Yeah.
I feel like it might be frowned upon when you get out the little bag with your pint glass in.
I just think everything about Yo Sushi is designed to make you feel like a giant, though, isn't it? Because all those little plates, the little mouthfuls.
You feel like a giant going on holiday.
Yeah, you do, because it's always in an airport, isn't it? How are they going to fit you on the plane? No idea.
Yeah, that would be a good prank to play on someone. Just make everything really small, including their plane, when they get on the plane.
Yeah. That would ruin your holiday, wouldn't it?
Yeah, straight away.
Spending the whole flight thinking about how you're going to get in your bikini. They've made it.
Pop-a-dums or bread?
Oh, okay. All right, then. I don't know why.
Pop-a-dums or bread? Keyword?
It's bread, isn't it? It's always going to be bread. I like a pop-a-dum. I like that they're crunchy. I like mango chutney. But
yeah,
I want bread and I want chips. I want a chip cob for my bread course. That's what I want.
Right, okay. Well, right. We'll get into that. First observation that I've only just realised, bread people are way more certain than poppadom people. So bread people are always like, it's bread. Of course it is. It's got to be bread. Whereas poppadom people are always like, I think I'm going to go for a poppadom. They're a lot more sort of, they're a lot more open.
That's because they know they're wrong. They're cowards.
They're fun. They're fun people.
They're trying to buck the trend and it's embarrassing. Either of you are poppadom people?
I'm a bread guy. And I, of course, my attitude is, why wouldn't it be bread? It's definitely bread. But also, I'm self-aware enough to be like, that's a bit arrogant. That's a bit arrogant to think bread is the only way.
I don't think it's arrogant at all. I think it's arrogant that poppadoms have walked into this podcast thinking that they can go toe-to-toe with bread, honestly.
Well, look, I'll be honest, Sarah, this has always got on my nerves. If we'd had a meeting before we recorded the first episode of this and James had suggested poppadoms or bread as a question, I would have said, that's not a question. That's not something you're offered at any restaurant.
Yeah, they're not comparatives.
But as with everything in this podcast, James just shouted it in the first episode and it became a feature because we couldn't change it.
Oh, I mean, we did have a meeting pre-podcast. I mean, we didn't, fair enough, poppadoms or bread didn't come up. We didn't actually talk about that. But mainly our meeting was taken up with me saying I'm going to be a genie and Ben and Ed trying to talk me out of it.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you weren't in a position to make decent creative decisions during that meeting anyway, so Papa Dom's on bread would have probably been completely signed off.
Yeah, maybe that would have. I mean,
if you'd taken that meeting seriously, you would have kept Papa Dom's on bread, you would have gotten rid of the genie, and I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, you might not. We would have.
Because the genie is my dad.
Oh, that's a great twist.
That is an excellent twist.
That's why you don't eat.
That's why I don't
eat. You don't need to.
Don't need to.
Because you're a little baby genie.
Oh, I'm brilliant. A tiny little genie. Yeah. And he won't teach me how to clean windows. He only gave me the chimneys.
He doesn't want you seeing that sort of stuff.
We'll cover more ground that way.
My father is cruel.
I think the Papa Dom's or bread question is open to interpretation. If people want to say prawn crackers, if people want to say tortilla chips, just anything that you would get at that point in the meal before the course starts, you know?
Look, we've gone around the houses enough now, Sarah. You want a chip cob.
Oh, a chip cob. Yeah. I'm bending the rules completely.
What I really like about this is you've said you're going to overorder and you've not broken your promise.
No, I haven't.
You've started. Traditionally, people say, I don't want to eat bread before a meal because I don't want to fill myself up. What you've done is you've got bread and you've put some more carbs in it.
I've assumed that I am completely bottomless during this meal.
Sure.
I assume I'm not going to get full at any point. Maybe at the end. Right at the end, it sneaks in and it's like a good full.
Yeah. I can do that for you. Yeah, no problem.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. What's a cob?
Ha! I wondered if that would come up. I wondered if you would start this silly conversation, Genie. A cob is a bread roll.
So what's corn on the cob?
Corn on the cob is to be honest, a cob of corn, it's a roll, isn't it? It's rolled corn.
It's rolled corn.
You are going to have to specify that you want the bread roll version because otherwise genies are open to interpretation. He might bring you the middle of a corn on the cob with chips on it.
Covered in chips and you rotate it and eat the chips off of it.
I'd eat that. I'd probably give it a go.
I don't want to upset you, but I'm not a fan of a chip butty.
Call it what I called it.
Chip cob. I don't want a chip cob. I don't like double carbing it within the same dish. I think it's a waste of stomach space. I think everything tastes too bland. I'm not a fan. People are going to be going mad about this. This is like when I said I don't like Yorkshire puddings.
My finger is hovering over the leave button of this Zoom meeting, by the way. I'll do it.
I don't blame you, Keyworth.
James, do you like it?
Yeah, I like chip butties, yeah. Chip cobs, sorry.
Loads of butter.
Yeah.
Ketchup.
Yeah.
And ideally, because I have good memories of this when I was a kid, I'd go swimming and I'd do the swimming. I'd agree to it. Knowing full well that I'd get a chip cob afterwards. So you want to be that level of slightly, like nicely tired after a good swim.
Yeah, and then they chuck it in the pool and you got to dive and get it in your pyjamas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a rubber brick.
Yeah, it is like a rubber brick. That's half my problem with it.
Yeah.
Is it from a chip shop, Keyworth?
No, it's from a swimming pool in Walthamstow. No, Walthamstow, Edwinstow.
Forgotten where you grew up?
Forgot where I grew up. For a minute there, I forgot where I grew up.
I don't mind a butty cob situation, but here's something I used to have when I was at university. See if you like the sound of this. This was introduced to me by my friend who's grew up in Preston.
I already don't like the sound of this.
Right. Well, it was at a lower point of my life in terms of eating, and I probably used to have one of these a day, a pie butty.
What? Tell me what that is. Talk me through.
I've never heard this before.
Probably a mince pie, like a beef mince pie. It would have like mince and gravy and onion in it. Like a proper pastry pie.
Yeah.
And then get some bread and heavily butter the bread.
Glad that you're clarifying that it is encased in pastry. So you've got a bread layer, you'd say.
Yeah. And then get some just cheap white bread, slather that in butter, pop the pie in the middle.
Right.
Put some brown sauce and some red sauce on top of the pie. Get the other slice of bread and then just a light push just to slightly squash the pie. And then eat the pie butty.
We need to talk about the fact that you just said that you don't like double carbing.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it's a waste of stomach space. You have a dirty past, Ed Campbell.
What I would say to that is that I think with the pie butty, there's more variety of flavour. It's not just straight white carbs all the way through.
Because there's an entire meal on the inside of your bread.
Yes. And also, when I say stomach space, I had a lot more stomach space then. So that wasn't I wasn't filling up on the pie butty.
What stage of the day do you have it?
Oh, well, I'd normally probably... I'd sleep through both my morning lectures. So I'd probably wake up at around 11 a.m. And then I'd get up. I'd probably have three cigarettes and then I'd stroll to the baker's. So I was probably having that at around noon. So it was more of a brunch.
Are you buying a pre-made pie at the baker's?
Buying a pre-made pie at the baker's and then going back and using probably someone else's bread in the kitchen.
You're a real piece of shit, Gamble.
Remember when Ed, like, he lost a lot of weight when, like, he used to be a bigger gentleman and he lost all that weight and everyone was, like, so amazed by it. And he even had a stand-up routine where he said, everyone's asking me how I lost the weight. And, you know, it just is boring answer, really. You just eat less, exercise more. And no, it's not a boring answer. You go, oh, yeah, I'll tell you my secret. I stopped eating pie butties every single day.
I miss pie butties. I feel like someone who used to be in a gang, like a violent gang.
Mm.
Look, I'm glad I'm out of it, but God, I miss those days.
That's why you've got that pie butty face tattoo as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, do you want your swim to be in a mixture of still and sparkling water?
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah,
I've never done it before, but I think that would elevate the experience in some sense. If you mix still and sparkling water, does it continue to sparkle?
It must be a light sparkle.
A light sparkle. Yeah. I don't know whether I'd prefer to swim in purely sparkling water.
Mm.
There is something so evocative, isn't there, about things you used to eat after you went swimming as a child. Like, it's like the smell of the chlorine and you're like properly exhausted.
I think it was because you'd swallowed so much chlorine as a child that you actually, your body was desperate for something to soak up those chemicals.
Yeah. It was the only time I ever got stuff from a vending machine. I was always denied vending machine food, but I was allowed vending machine stuff after a swim and get the Space Raiders and stuff like that from the vending machine.
Used to get some smoky bacon crisps.
Yeah.
After a swim from a vending machine. Also, my dad, I remembered this recently because it's such a bizarre thing that happened. My dad used to take me to play golf, which just doesn't make any sense to me, apart from the fact that he was actually trying to make me a lesbian. And we'd play golf and then he'd buy me a bucket of Roundtree's fruit pastels afterwards.
Nice.
And I'll tell you what, I was in it for the pastels, not the golf.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, initially I thought you said bucket.
A bucket, yeah. He'd empty out the golf balls.
Yeah.
And he'd fill it with fruit pastels.
Where did you say you were from? Edwinstow?
I'm from Nottingham, so I grew up in an area called Sherwood, but we would drive to a place called Edwinstow. And on the way, my mum would tell a story about a man called Edwin who had a very big toe.
Sarah, I don't know if you did this deliberately, but the idea of your mum telling the story about Edwin's toe, you've exactly nailed James Acaster's humour.
Really makes me laugh, that kind of stuff.
No, I didn't nail it, to be honest. It was my mum. It was always my mum.
Yeah.
And it was only, I'd say, 2 years ago, I'm 27 now, and it was only about age 25 that occurred to me that the reason she told a story about Edwin's toe every time is because we were going to Edwin's toe. I just thought she fucking loves this story when we go somewhere.
Well, we get to your starter then. So you've already kind of had what most people might even call a starter.
A meal.
a chip cob.
Yeah.
After a swim.
I want to hear the starter that is going to follow up your chip cob.
Okay.
Yes.
So I am a vegetarian, but before I was a vegetarian, one of my favourite dishes, and I remember it, like, because when I was a kid, we didn't get takeaways very often. We'd get takeaways for, like, a birthday or whatever. And when we got Chinese takeaway, my favourite thing would be duck pancakes with hoisin sauce and little strips of cucumber. Given that this is my fantasy situation, I'm having that. I don't mind if it's mock duck, but I want it to be as close to the real thing as possible, please.
Here's a good compromise. We can make it real duck, but the duck we've got it from can come out and sort of say hello and just let you know that it's still alive and it's fine.
I thought you were going to say we can make it real duck, but the duck we've got it from was a cunt.
Either or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want crispy cunt duck, you can have that as well.
Crispy cunt duck sounds like something completely different, but I don't think we should get into.
Every time you make one of those jokes, I'm going to picture your dad on the golf course going, "You're doing me proud."
just dropping another pastel in the bucket.
Yep.
Weird treat training for me every time I say something.
Keep them coming, Kima. Yeah.
Do you want to meet the duck while you're eating it? Just and the duck can be like, hey, look, I was happy to give up some of my body's regrown. I'm still alive. We're all right.
Would the duck stay whilst I ate it?
No, it wouldn't watch you like James Acaster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's not this getting crowded in this restaurant if with Acaster's eyes on me. Let's do that then. Let's treat myself. I've not done anything bad to this duck. The duck's happy. I'm imagining that the duck comes in, says this to me, walks back into the kitchen, and then is brutally murdered. And I'm just happily thinking that the duck's fine. Yeah, no, I'll agree to that. That's fine.
Now, talking of the ratios, what you're doing, because whenever we used to get crispy duck pancakes at home, I'd always fuck it early doors and end up putting too much hoisin sauce on the first one, putting all the veg in, and then there was none left over for the next pancakes.
Ed's ratios were always like, Ed'd have a little bit of hoisin sauce and then half a lasagna and then like a beef burger, and he'd roll it all up. Oh no, it's too much in here again.
Two slices of white bread.
Oh, so traditional Chinese food.
I have thought about this because I feel as though, I don't know if they do it on purpose, or I don't know whether they expect you to just use less of everything in your first couple of pancakes. But it does feel like they don't give you enough for the amount of pancakes they give you.
Yeah.
So basically what I'd like to happen is have a sort of all-you-can-eat situation, and then I'll tell you when I'm done.
Perfect. Right. We can definitely do that for you, for sure.
I don't think I'm not sounding like old school gamble in this moment.
As long as you don't put a pie in the pancake, we're absolutely fine.
Not tempted after hearing Ed's stories?
The butter mixes with the gravy. It's lovely.
But you could... there's a compromise where you could just put a little bit of butter on your pie, couldn't you?
Oh, no, come on. That's too far. I'm not going to butter my pie. I'll butter the bread, and if some of the butter should mix with the pie, then so be it.
You're essentially buttering your pie.
Yeah.
You've buttered your pie, young man.
Hoisin duck pancakes, a wonderful choice to kick off any meal.
But the thing is, okay, so this is, I've had some other thoughts about the starter situation because I really like tapas and I don't know whether I can almost, because it's a bit of a small plate, isn't it, the duck pancakes?
Here's what I think you'd have to do if you want to add extra things to the tapas. You'd have to make them mini pancakes, like canapé size pancakes.
I'm not interested.
You're not interested. No. Right.
I back down.
But you've played a good game here, because now I want to hear what else is on the tapas list.
Well, basically, there's a tapas place in Nottingham. It's called Bar Iberico. And they do triple cooked patatas bravas.
So chips.
Chips. Chips.
Yeah.
Oh, you got me. You saw through it. You saw through it.
I would like them in a cop.
In El Cobo. It's amazing.
I want a chip cob on the side of every dish. Yeah.
I mean, patatas bravas, it's good stuff. But I feel like if you've had the chip cob, surely just let some of the chips fall out of the cob and save them.
No.
No.
No, I won't.
No.
No. I'm not sacrificing chips for my chip cob for a later date. I thought this was a dream restaurant. I thought this was my fantasy. I didn't realise that we had to ration things now. You said I can have all you can eat real hoisin duck pancakes, but I've got to save some of my chips from my bread course. I did hear the sentence I just said, by the way. The chips.
If you're eating your hoisin duck pancakes and you've got patatas bravas on the side, are you going back and forth? Are you doing them all the pancakes and then eating the bravas? What are you doing?
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I've never had these two things actually at the same time. So I've got no idea what the flavour palette would be, but knowing me, I'd go back and forth.
Would you be tempted to dip a patatas bravas in the hoisin?
Not just tempted, I would absolutely do it.
Great.
I don't even think there'd be time for temptation. I think I'd do it without thinking. Yeah.
Would you wrap them all up in a pancake, put a load of patatas bravas in a pancake?
Yeah, that does sound good, actually.
So just to double check, so far we've got two chip
cobs. Yeah. Two chip cobs, and I just want to have a little quick chat with a duck in between.
Conversation with a duck.
That's my dream.
Just to make sure everything's fine.
Yeah.
Is there anything else from the tapas place that you want on this tapas platter?
They also do a chili and ginger glazed cauliflower that is like crispy. So I'd have a bit of that if you offer him. It's like a sort of popcorn cauliflower, but it's sweet and salty and glazed, and it's just fucking great.
Huge shout out to the Bang Bang Cauliflower at Wagamama, which is, I think, one of the best chain restaurant side dishes out there.
I nearly mentioned it just now to try and sort of give you a sense of what it's like, but I think it's an elevated version of the Bang Bang Cauliflower. But I am a fan of a Bang Bang Cauliflower and have been known to order two.
You've double-fisted Bang Bang?
I've double-fisted... Yeah.
One more pastel in the bucket.
Yeah. I literally, as soon as Ed said you've double-fisted Bang Bang, all I saw was a man teeing off.
He's got a sharing bag of pastels and he's pouring them in the bucket.
There's got to be more than one for double-fisted Bang Bang.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, we come to your main course, Keymouth.
There's a lot of carb going on. It has occurred to me. Here we go. But I'd like a carb, and you know what? I'm not ashamed. I think
lean into it.
I think there are other people in this conversation that also like carbs, and I'm not going to name names. I'm going to point fingers. Pie Butty Boy is who I'm thinking of. my main course is a stolen mac and cheese.
We need to know more. Why does it need to be stolen, Sarah? And who are you stealing it from?
This is a stolen mac and cheese because I like mac and cheese. I've always been a fan of it. But a long time ago, I dated an American girl who talked at length about a mac and cheese that her mum made. And then one day, I don't know if she was having a particularly good time or a particularly bad time, but for some reason I thought, I'm going to do something nice for her. And I don't know why I explained that, like I couldn't just do something nice for my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Without
it's purpose. It's really good to know that, yeah, if she was having a completely normal day, you wouldn't have wanted to do something nice for her. No. She had to be at one extreme.
Yeah, no, it has to be something that made me think, do you know what, we're not having fruit pastels tonight, we're going to have something else. And so I sent a message to her mum and asked for the mac and cheese recipe, which she sent over to me in American language. Cups of plenty. Made the mac and cheese, and it was what she'd made it out to be. But then we broke up, and I've continued in the 6 or 7 years since I was with this girl, I've continued to make her mum's mac and cheese. So it's stolen.
When you say it's stolen, I don't necessarily agree that it's stolen. You asked someone for a recipe and they gave it to you. Do you think using any recipe that's not your entirely your own creation is stealing?
It's all plagiarism. It's nicking.
Also, I think it depends who you ask it. Because like you, Ed, when you said stolen mac and cheese, I thought you'd once, you know, someone had left some mac and cheese cooling on a windowsill and you'd run along and snatched it and run away.
Yeah, exactly what I was
thinking. We live in a world where if a mac and cheese was left on a windowsill, the first person that would get to it would be James Acaster.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm already at the window.
You know the windows of London like the back of your hand.
However, I do get what QF means because I think it depends who you ask in this situation. I think if you ask your ex-girlfriend, she would say, you stole that, like, stop doing that recipe. Yeah. That's my mum's recipe and we broke up. And that's not your recipe to make and stop doing it.
I feel like I've stolen a sort of family traditional dish from an unsuspecting romantic ex-lover.
But it depends where the mum got the recipe from, right? Because if it was the mum's creation entirely, then yes, that's stealing. But surely the mum got that recipe from a book or got it from another, maybe she got it from an ex-boyfriend's family.
I think she got it from BBC Good Food. No, I don't know where she got it from. I didn't ask. I didn't go, where did you get this from? I just trusted that it was sentimental and special and made it accordingly.
You want the mac and cheese cooked by yourself for your dream main course?
Well, yeah, I mean, I could talk someone through it, I suppose. But yeah, you know, I want my mac and cheese, my nicked mac and cheese. And do you know what's worse is that I haven't been telling people that. I've been passing it off as my own ever since.
Yeah, you've got to. You've absolutely got to.
Yeah.
What's special about it? How many different cheeses are in it? And talk me through them.
It has three different cheeses in it. So you go with a classic cheddar, a red cheese, like a red Leicester, and then a smoked.
Nice.
The key thing here is to just use shitloads. I'm not kidding when I say it's an American recipe. Just chop it all up. And you cube the cheese. You don't even grate it. There's no time. Right. You'd be there for hours if you're trying to grate it. You cube it up and loads of butter in your roux. Cook it like you want to die, is what I say. And then, yeah, plenty of red cheese so that you get it kind of is an orangey colour and it's just thick. And then breadcrumbs on top.
Of course. And bread's getting involved again.
Yeah. And then chips. You layer it with chips. And then you get rid of the macaroni and the cheese.
So is it quite saucy?
Yes.
Is there like a lot of sauce in it?
Lots of sauce. You know that macaroni cheese sound?
Oh, yeah, the squelch.
It's grim, isn't it? And then also crispy onions on top.
Wow.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
What, those pre-done crispy onions?
Yeah, ideally. I mean, I've never been able to purchase them, so I just...
Oh, you can get them. You can get them. You can buy. I've got a big bag of them in the cupboard. They are delicious. I mean, I can eat handfuls of them.
Yeah. So you sort of mix your breadcrumbs with your crispy onions and do a layer on top, bake.
That's a good tip. That's a really good tip, the crispy onions.
There's actually a moral victory here because I added the crispy onions.
Mm. Oh, then it's yours.
It's mine. Yeah, I've adapted it.
Then it's yours and I'm going to steal that from you and it's going to taste all the sweeter.
Take it from me. Have it. And do you know what? Do you know what inspired the crispy onions on the mac and cheese? There's a food van at the Udderbelly bit of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival called Mac Shack. And they do crispy onions on their mac and cheese. And I had it. And I don't know whether or not it was the best thing I'd ever eaten or whether or not I was so depressed on that particular day of the Edinburgh Fringe. I feel like there's food during the Edinburgh Fringe tastes so fucking good because it's just one of the few sources of joy.
Yeah. I think also everyone has like a place that they absolutely, every comic has a place in Edinburgh that they love eating at. So much, and sometimes it is one of, like the crepe fans in Edinburgh are going nuts for every year.
Yeah.
Me, Domit, and Nish will go and get a late night crepe and get really excited about it and go home eating our crepes.
Also, I think during the Fringe, you can feel so physically exhausted at times that sitting down for a meal, like post show, going for a meal, always just felt so good.
Is there any like particular meals you remember having at the Edinburgh Fringe that have felt like that?
I'm a big fan of Mum's in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
The sausage and mash place.
God, that makes me feel old. I remember it being Monster Mash, of course. Mash. It used to be called Monster Mash back in the day.
And it did the same thing. Mums.
Same thing, sort of maybe less wide-ranging menu.
I thought you were going to say, I remember when she didn't have children.
I remember when it was just Young Girl with Dreams. That's what it was called.
Briefly, it was called Woman Who Is Pregnant. Yeah.
And just before that, it was called Woman Who Feels a Bit Sick, but she's not sure why.
Yeah, no, I like Mum's, previously known as Monster Mash. Because it's such comfort food, and it even says it on it, doesn't it? Comfort food. Mm-hmm. And usually it's raining in Edinburgh. And I like sitting in that little tiny restaurant on a tiny table and eating sausage and mash, and they give you as much gravy as you want. Can you hear shouting, by the way?
No.
Okay, no, we're good.
Yeah. There is a poppy in my house, and I think she's just woken up, so I'm hearing... Right.
I thought your ex's mum had just come over. Where the fuck is my mac and cheese?
Crispy, aren't you? I was like, you're joking? Come down here. Why I order? You took the best years of my daughter's life. Come down here right now.
And it's true, my girlfriend's mum was Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors.
There's a good Japanese restaurant just down the road from Mum's. I think it's called Koyama as well, where I go a lot during the Fringe. Mm-hmm.
I like the Italian restaurant. It's quite popular. I can't remember what it's like, Vittoria or something.
Is it the one that's got the pirates? The pirate room?
No, that's Ciao Roma. And I have actually, to talk about Ciao Roma, I am I'm very popular in Ciao Roma, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I'm good friends with the owner of Ciao Roma. His name's Franco. Because I did a show in Ciao Roma, probably about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago now. And I think basically what happened was I was one of the only performers who talked to the staff of Ciao Roma. And would go in and just engage with them and ask them how their days were going and things like that. And also, I would fly my own show for 2 hours before it. And I think he respected the work ethic there. And so we became good friends. And now I go back every year. And he treats me like a sort of like mafiosa's son, like I've returned home. I've been there and on occasion walked in and people, I met a friend there once and there was a big queue outside and she met me outside and she said, there's no tables. They've said, no, there's nothing available. And I, in a sort of incredibly arrogant move, went, leave it with me. And we were at a table within 3 minutes, I would say.
Amazing.
They bring in like a new table out, like in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Especially for you.
No, but it got to a point where I had a table and the table was far too big for the amount of people that I would come with. He'd give me like an 8-person table and there'd be like 4 of us. And I think this doesn't make any sense. But maybe he was hoping I'd invite him to join us or something.
But you didn't.
But I didn't. I never did. No.
I would love to know your side dish.
So I feel at the moment there's a lot of carb.
I mean, yeah, more so than we've ever had before.
Really?
I would say.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's impossible to have more, for example. Yeah. So maybe we've had someone with the same amount.
A chip butty, some pancakes with some patatas bravas on the side, and
macaroni cheese.
And the most indulgent macaroni cheese I've ever heard.
Okay.
So, yeah. And you did a quick shout out to mashed potato. So that's carry on.
Didn't I? Yeah. I don't regret anything I've said, by the way. I stand by it.
No.
So is it going to upset you if I have a chip cob on the side of this packaging?
No. None of this is upsetting at all. You have whatever you like.
My side dish is some broccoli, tender stem, from a restaurant called Flesh and Bum.
Yes.
And it's sort of smoky and barbecued with orange zest on top. And it's the best broccoli I've ever had in my life. I've been known to order two of them, actually. I've
double up on the broc. You've got to. The broccoli thing, I think it's really grown up when people finally realise that broccoli's actually delicious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's ways of doing broccoli that are so nice.
Why do they hold back tender stem from us as children, though?
Good question.
Well, you can have tender stem when you're older, but you've got to figure it out on your own.
You got to earn it.
You're right. It's like it's proper passage of aging, isn't it? Like you've got to negotiate that. You've got to find tender stem for yourself. It's all the more satisfying.
It's a secret that they keep from us, and it fucks me off. It's like sex. But they have that conversation with us when we get to a point.
Yeah.
Nobody sits
down. I'm glad that's held back.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been ready for that.
But people sit you down and they tell you about it. They explain that to you. But nobody's this. Is today's the day for the tender stem broccoli chat.
Right, okay. I see what you mean.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. I see what you mean. I thought you were saying they should let children have sex.
No.
I thought you were saying they're holding tender stem broccoli back from us. Just like they do with sex. And I was like, what the fuck, Keyworth? What are you talking about?
With the tender stem broccoli, I went on Saturday Kitchen recently, the BBC One flagship cooking show on a Saturday morning. And Matt Tebbutt, the host, did tender stem broccoli and charred it. And I'd never known properly how to do this. And I think I've done it about three times a week since. All it is, it's just a super hot griddle pan, put the broccoli in, and then put a heavy pan on top of it for like 3 minutes, flip it for another 2 minutes, put the pan back on, and then you've got like charred, perfectly cooked broccoli. It's amazing.
As in like weighting it down?
Weighting it, like pushing it right down so you're properly charring it.
Oh, interesting.
Keyworth, do you think that Ed has stolen that recipe from that man?
Of course. Yeah.
Yes.
And he's confessing on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know you could put crispy onions on it as well.
Do you know what? I feel like they do something like that in this broccoli that I'm talking about. It's been so long. This is also the thing, when I was sort of trying to think about what I was going to say, I was thinking, what restaurants have I been to? What food have I had that's been absolutely amazing? And it's been so long since I've done that, that I've had to resort to 7 chip cobs and a mac and cheese.
Let's see. This will be impressive. Let's see if you can get carbs into your drink.
Is wine a carb? No. Could it be?
No, wine is not a carb.
It doesn't matter because I'm having red wine soaked chips. My drink is a bottle of red wine that, for some reason, probably about 8 years ago, my entire extended family got completely obsessed with. Probably because it was sort of reasonably affordable and tasty. And so now there's probably better wine out there, but there's a sort of weird loyalty to that. It's almost like we own the vineyard or something, but we don't. So there's no sort of financial benefit to it. So it's a classic wine. It's relatively basic. I'm building it up. And it is it's a Campo Viejo.
Campo Viejo.
That's what I'm having.
It's a huge name.
It's a great name. It's well known. And there's a reason for it. They do a good job. They do what they do and they do it well.
I think I'm familiar with it.
You'd recognise the label. You'd recognise the label.
You'd absolutely know, yeah. The original flavour is a yellow label.
Right, yes, I know what you're talking about. And they have orange versions
and, the reserve.
They've strayed outside the original flavour, have they? What else have they... what else have they added?
Well, they have like a Grand Reserva and,
cookies and cream.
Yeah. Cookies and cream. They're doing the
Cherry Garcia.
They're doing what Walker's Crisps are doing at the moment, and doing a KFC flavour.
Take us through. Do you have tasting notes for the Campo Viejo? You've had it so much. Can you? Because I love wine, but what I've started doing recently is, and James will hate me for this, is I use the Vivino app and I taste the wine and I try and work out what I can taste in it and I write it down. Then I check the tasting notes on the Vivino app to see if I got any of them right.
I actually don't hate that at all. I actually like that quite a lot. That makes me, think I'm actually pretty cool.
It's great.
Sarah, I could tell that I completely agree with you on this and that we'd get on well having a lovely old drink when you said, I'd like a bottle of red wine, please. There was no, I'll have a wine. You're straight in with the hot. Are you a whole bottle person?
Yes, no, I am. And I actually, I feel slightly exposed now because I wasn't even asking for a bottle of Campo Viejo, thinking that that would be my only bottle. I sort of expected that to be a sort of keep them coming situation.
We'll keep the bottles coming for sure. Magnums, we'll bring you magnums.
I love going out for dinner and drinking shitloads of wine. I just think it's a very enjoyable experience.
So do you want me to start bringing these wines out immediately?
Yeah.
With the chip cob and stuff.
No, oh yeah, no, I want it from the start. I don't want to wait. I want to be handed a bottle on entry. Was that worthy of a pastel?
Anything with the term on entry has to be, yeah. Surely.
I feel like I'm going to think about that now. Every time I say something vaguely euphemistic, I'm going to think, that would be a pastel, wouldn't it?
You're going to think of your dad dropping a fruit pastel into a golf ball bucket.
Yeah, completely. It will ruin my sex life for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it really is. Sarah, were you okay? You seemed a bit distant. I was thinking about my dad dropping a fruit pastel into a golf ball bucket.
And then one day I'll see my dad actually dropping a fruit pastel into a bucket and I'll feel weird about it.
Yeah. Does the Campo Viejo go with your dessert, Sarah Kiewer?
Okay, so I'm not much of a sweet-toothed person, to be honest.
Here we go.
What about all the fruit? What about the buckets of fruit pastels you've been guzzling your entire life?
I was a child, James. I was a child, and I was being trained into being a lesbian. The moment I became a lesbian, I lost my sweet tooth. That's how it works.
It's not how it works.
We love to hear it here on the Off Menu podcast when someone says they don't really have a sweet tooth because they're not a child anymore. That's correct.
We don't love to hear it.
I knew this would get you riled up, so I don't want a dessert.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He was so lulled. You've lulled him into the perfect sense of false security. False sense of security.
I can see that James has sat up on his seat. He's actually, it's not like a normal sit up. It's close to a fetal position.
Yeah, he's proper goleming it.
Yeah. I don't want a dessert, thanks. I'd have a mouthful of someone else's.
What the f*** are you on about?
That's great. That's the first time we've had a mouthful of someone else's dessert. Does it matter what it is?
No, not really. I'll have a mouthful of someone else's.
I'm genuinely upset.
Yeah,
I'm upset. I'm not even angry.
I agree with you. I'm the worst kind of person because somebody I'm upset with someone. They order a dessert. They're excited to have it, and then suddenly my eyes get a bit beady.
Yeah,
and I didn't want a full dessert. I've had it before where people have gone, oh, why don't we get two and we'll share them? Leave me alone. I've just had five chip cobs, you know.
Yeah, you are full. To be fair to you, you are full. Do you ask the waiter for another spoon when you have a mouthful, or is it like more of an instinctive thing?
No, I go in with two fingers.
That's a grab bag of pastas there.
There you go.
So that's what I like about this, is it doesn't matter what it is, it just has to be someone else's and you only want a mouthful of it.
Yeah, and that's the thing about dessert more than any other dish that you have during a meal, is that if somebody has a dessert and you don't, they will always feel obliged to say, do you want to try it?
Well, you've never had dinner with James Acaster, we know.
Yeah,
that.
Not on my watch. We know. I'm not offering you any of mine. Forget about it.
I'm going to trap you into a meal one day, James.
If I've got a lovely dessert.
I don't know how I'm going to do it.
I'd probably be trapped into a meal.
There's absolutely
no way you're getting anywhere near my dessert.
I'm going to do it.
James, how are you feeling, mate?
Bad. This feels bad. I haven't had anyone completely pass on it before. I've had awful people say cheese and biscuits or Pizza Hut buffet or more poutine. I've never had someone go...
Sorry, wait, that was a dessert? More, because I would have...
More poutine, yeah.
Yes.
I would have had that. That's potatoes, isn't it?
No, I don't want to put that in your head. I do not want to put that in your head. But yeah, you would absolutely love that.
I'd be all over that. I'd have a second round of patatas bravas, to be honest.
Really like about this dessert as well, if we look back at your main course, which was stolen mac and cheese, and you said it was stolen because someone else gave you a recipe, and this is you're literally taking it off someone else's plate and you've not called it stolen.
No, I don't think this is stolen. They offered.
This doesn't feel good. I don't understand. I don't understand how... You would rather have nothing than dessert. You wouldn't just want some... There's not, like, a dessert that is, like, your favourite dessert you've ever had. There's not one.
I'll tell you what I would have, James. If everyone else is having a dessert and they're looking at me like, oh, it's uncomfortable that you're not having anything, what are you going to do? I would have an espresso martini.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
No, you, that's not your answer. Your answer is a mouthful of someone else's dessert.
No, it's not. I stand by what I said. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. If I was pushed, I'd have an espresso martini. Feels like a bit of a dessert because it comes in one of those nice little dessert glasses, otherwise known as martini glass.
You would have a cocktail, but you wouldn't. There's no ice creams, cakes, gattos.
James.
There's nothing.
You're not going to break me, James. You're not going to break me.
But think about what like Sarah's done is, yes, there are ice creams, there are gattos, there are trifles, there's all of that available if someone else orders it and she can have a mouthful of it.
It feels like a waste to get a whole thing because I won't eat it all.
There we go. I think it's a great answer. Well done, you.
It's not a great answer. You don't think it's a great answer.
I do think it's a great answer. Well done, you.
Thank you. I'm proud of myself.
Let's read the order back, please.
The thing is that it's weird because at the minute I'm in a little bit of a, like, I didn't get much sleep last night because I ate too much chocolate brownie bites before I went to bed and my heart was going like a jackrabbit and I couldn't fall asleep. And so it's a bit difficult to now really try and put my case forward against Keyworth on this because, like, not only do I not have the energy because I was up all night, but also...
I don't want something raising my heart rate, which is why I'll stick with my espresso martini, thank you.
Yeah. You're fine with that. Well, I mean, it is heartbreaking. I don't understand it.
I like that we're ending this because we started it with you saying, I've never seen you eat.
Yes.
And I like that actually we've ended it with you not ever wanting to see me eat.
No. I don't know how good I had it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some tear tattoos and they're all made of like double fat cream. The
melted ice cream.
Melted ice cream tears.
Tears with chunks in.
Oh, I mean, I want to move on and read the menu, but I also want to like lay into this more, but like, I don't think I have anything. I'm genuinely bereft here.
Have I left you speechless?
Yes. I don't understand.
Well, what you have to understand is, as well, the thing is, if I'm having a meal with my dad, which I often am, you know he's got a fruit pastel.
I would hope so.
So what am I going to do? Have a dessert, then have a pastel?
You've earned a lot of fruit pastels this episode. It's like reading. This is like reading a book where I know I hate the ending. It's really difficult. It's
like reading The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like reading The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas.
I think that is so harsh.
Thanks for ruining that book for me, Ed. I didn't know that book ends with him not having dessert. I haven't even read that. At the end, he doesn't get any pudding.
He just has a bite of someone else's.
Yeah. Here we go. Water, still and sparkling. Poblums or bread, a chip cob. Starter, crispy duck pancakes plus some tapas dishes, the triple cooked patatas bravas and chili and ginger glazed cauliflower. Main course, stolen mac and cheese with crispy onions. Side dish, tender stem broccoli with orange from flesh and bun. Drink, Campo Viejo, red wine, a whole bottle, but keep them coming throughout the whole meal.
Mm.
And dessert is a mouthful of someone else's. I can't believe what I'm reading.
I'm gonna clip you saying a mouthful of someone else's and have it as my ringtone. The resentment is delicious. I would have that for my dessert.
That's a fruit pastel if ever I saw one, saying a mouthful of someone else's every single time. Mm-hmm.
Sarah Keyworth, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, and thank you for, I mean, you seem to have basically murdered James Acaster's soul, which...
I've broken the genie.
You've absolutely broken the genie.
I don't know if I'm coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be on this podcast again. This might be my last one.
You know what? You deserved it for that awful welcome you gave Sarah, and now she's left you genuinely feeling like that. You're never going to be able to puff out your lamp ever again.
This is Benito's fault. He didn't say, enjoy your meal, and now look at me. I quit.
Well, there we go. Thanks very much, Sarah.
I guess I'm the new genie now.
You're the new genie now. I'm handing it over to you.
That's the rule, isn't it, with genies? The genie that makes the genie quit becomes the new genie.
Yeah.
You become the new genie. I really want to commit to that now and actually do it. That would be funny. If I just stopped doing the podcast and Keyworth was the new genie. Yeah. And they go, whoa, they really went with the bit.
And we do it, but we don't tell anyone it's happened.
Yeah. And every new guest who's on, when it gets to the dessert, they say their dessert, and you always go, can I have a mouthful of that?
Yeah.
Ed, I've done this podcast for a long time. I would like to do my farewell speech. Now I'm not coming back.
Okay.
Right. Benito's absolutely look. I mean, I think we've been going for an hour and 40 now. Benito is now tearing his hair out, going, "How am I gonna edit this?" And now James is going, "And now I'd like to do my farewell speech, please."
I'd like to thank the great Benito for all of his time and patience over the years, even though he's a little squirt. I would also like to thank Ed Gamble, who has been the perfect maitre d'. And sure, we haven't always seen eye to eye, but I feel like he still understands me on some level, at least a culinary level. And thanks to all the guests who have ever been on the podcast. Apologies to Jade Adams, who got kicked out, deservedly so. And big shout out to Joel Dommett, who I believe I'll be joining in some sort of recovery clinic after I've come off of this. Keyworth, I'm sure you're going to be an excellent genie now I'm gone. Enjoy being on Off Menu, Keyworth.
I'm moved. That was great.
Well, there we go, James. A mouthful of someone else's.
Oh, Ed.
That's one of those great situations where, obviously, I don't agree with her. I think that's an awful choice for dessert because you're missing out on a whole course. But I just agreed with her to make you angry.
Actually, it makes me feel better to hear you say that.
Yeah, of course not a mouthful of someone else's. What's better for you, someone saying cheese or someone saying a mouthful of someone else's dessert?
It's very difficult. Do you know what? I think cheese boards make me angrier because I'm opposed to them, but this makes me sadder. I feel sad.
What about if someone said they'd like a mouthful of someone else's cheese?
Oh, dear. Well, then I'd be sad and angry at the same time. I wouldn't... I mean, it'd be awful.
You'd be sangry.
Yeah, I would go on a rampage, I think. It wouldn't be pretty. I mean, Keyworth's now absolutely cemented herself into a future Redemption Dinner Party episode.
That's true. Maybe she... Because, obviously, people know now. Maybe they're doing it deliberately so they get another ep. It's
you
like...
get rebooked.
Desperately trying to win Taskmaster so you get to do Champion of Champions.
Yeah. You were very clever with that, actually.
What about being the best? But we enjoyed having Sarah in the restaurant.
Yeah.
All the same.
Yes, it was nice. It was a lovely chat. Just so sad at the end, you know. It's like watching a lovely film and then... I mean, we've already done this analogy.
Yeah, I've done that riff. But all the same, even though she made James sad, do check out Sarah's social media accounts. She is at Sarah K Comedy on Twitter, at Sarah_Keyworth on Instagram, and check out her website, sarahkeyworth.co.uk. Maybe even, James, when this episode's going out, there might even be gigs planned. There might be events in the future featuring Sarah that you might want to go to. So just go and check out her website, etc. for that.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, and if you are listening to us in those times, tell us what it's like.
How are they going to do that?
Huh?
How are they going to do that?
Well, I'm here. I'm all ears.
He is all ears. It looks very weird.
He drank some more of that coffee, became your dad again. Well, at least she didn't say chocolate liqueurs. I mean, she said no dessert, and that upset me, but I was glad at least if she'd gone for chocolate liqueurs as dessert, it would have been even worse than a mouthful of someone else's.
Correct.
Actually, technically, she said a mouthful of it doesn't even matter what it is. Whatever anyone's got. So that could include chocolate liqueurs, actually.
It's rare to be in a restaurant and someone has a plate of chocolate liqueurs as their dessert.
Well, I wish I'd thought of that. She had made me so upset, I should have said, what if they're eating chocolate liqueurs? Do you want a mouthful of that? And she'd gone, yeah. Or I'd gone, get out the restaurant. Go enjoying Jail Adams in prison. She's your bunkmate.
Check out our social media accounts as well on Instagram and Twitter. We're on there. You can find us.
At Jimmy Acaster.
No, at Off Menu Official.
Oh, yes.
What's our website, James?
offmenupodcast.co.uk.
Yay!
Yes!
He's plugged the website. Thank you very much. What a way to finish. Was there something else you wanted to plug there, James?
I want to say thank you to Hackney Gelato, who sent me a load of gelato, because I know that I love ice cream. Really appreciate it. I don't think they knew that I was already a fan of theirs, so absolute chumps for sending me loads of free stuff. Thanks, guys. I think they thought, we'll introduce them to our flavours. I already loved it. The butterscotch one is like... just sublime. Best butterscotch ice cream out there, in my humble opinion. And my friend had texted me the day before telling me how much he loves the peanut butter one. And then the next day I got this email from them saying, do you want some free ice cream? So I sent him a screen grab of the email. Then I sent him a screen grab of the ice cream when it was in my freezer drawer. And now he's not my friend.
Speaking of peanut butter, actually, shout out to the good people at Manilife Peanut Butter, mm-hmm. who I gave a shout out to on the May Martin episode. It's my favourite peanut butter. A man called Stu, who runs Manilife, mm-hmm. was like, hey, we're doing a crossover with a restaurant soon, and we're just sorting out the recipes. Can I send you some dishes that we're coming up with? And they're doing a collab with Labab, who are a kebab restaurant in the centre of London. And I had an amazing chicken kebab with like peanut butter and a broccoli with tahini peanut butter dressing and an amazing aubergine ceviche with peanut butter as well. It was an incredible meal, James.
That sounds so good.
I'm not kidding. He also sent me too much peanut butter.
Good on him. And I don't know if we've mentioned before, but I can't even remember what the brand is, so there's probably no point shouting this out, but I got sent loads of free marmalade because we called Diane Morgan a shredhead.
But, yeah. Well, that one of their PR just had a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah. You know, thanks for that.
Shout out to Marmalade. Thanks very much for listening. Hit us up on the socials. Don't do that. That sounds awful. Just follow us if you want. Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Enjoyed this podcast, can I interest you in a totally different podcast that's not about food and doesn't have James Acaster or Ed Gamble, but I would say is quite fun?
No, thank you.
Oh, okay, not to worry. If you change your mind at a later date,
yeah.
It's called Nobody Panic.
Right.
It's hosted by me, Tessa Coates, and my friend Stevie Martin.
Which is weirdly me.
And we tackle all kinds of how-tos, from big things to small things.
How to stop saying sorry, how to poo, how to break up with someone, how to quit your job, how to relax, how to have a conversation, how to deal with unrequited love.
A smorgasbord of things.
Absolutely.
We have a nice time. People seem to like it. If you like, you can come and see what all the fuss is about.
All that fuss. What's it called? Nobody Panic. You can find it on all of the podcast apps that you would imagine it would be on. Please have a listen.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.